Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. It is another beautiful day outside. The birds are chirping. Amen. Sun is shining. It is good to be here. Amen. I've got some green tea here because I figured I'd save my coffee for homeschool. Sometimes I make my coffee right before homeschool to treat myself before I go enter the gauntlet with these little kids. So that's going to have to wait a little bit, but, man, it's just a blessed day. And if you're wondering, is this guy always saying it's a blessed day? No, I mean, there are days when I'm like, ooh, I'm glad I'm not preaching today. I'm glad I'm not sharing anything on the microphone today because I don't know what I would say. So, you know, just know, hey, we all go through it. Amen. In case you're having one of those days, I can relate. But today really is a blessed day. And we're in Genesis 9. And Genesis 8, I just basically cut myself off from preaching more on that because there's so much more you could go with Genesis 8. Like I had all these verses lined up about these, the unaccepted offerings and stuff that the people would bring. And God was like, why are you doing that? You wouldn't give that to your boss. You wouldn't give that to a friend, et cetera, et cetera. How dare you give it to me? I'm not going to do the unaccepted offerings right now for time's sake. But one thing I do want to just point out briefly that Genesis 8 shows that the offering was accepted by God, that Noah, as he came off the ark, him and his family with the animals, had this offering that was accepted by God. The offering that we need to look at that's accepted by God in our time, because remember, this happened before, you know, chronologically speaking, before the Passion of Christ, right? So this is before the earthly ministry of Christ. And we understand that Jesus always has been and always will be, and that Jesus was there at the beginning of the creation of earth, as John 1 tells us. But that being said, this was before the earthly ministry. So that offering, that animal sacrifice, that burnt offering was acceptable to the Lord. And today's application would be Christ dying on the cross for our sins at Calvary is acceptable to the Lord. And so we can't do anything. You know, if I go and burn my neighbor's house down, not that I would, amen, not that I would. I get along with all my neighbors. But, you know, let's say I burnt one down or burnt their house down, okay? On purpose, right? And I said, God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me, right? Now, in and of itself, I didn't do anything righteous enough to be forgiven. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags, like dirty gauze pads. It's disgusting to God. So my righteousness is not going to be accepted or able to apply, okay? Because I am living with the sin curse, so I can't do it on my own. But Jesus, being perfect and sinless and spotless, went to the cross at Calvary, and he was innocent, right? He didn't do anything himself. He had no reason to be there other than to provide that sacrifice, the sinless, spotless lamb, the ram that's found in the thicket as Abraham's prepared to sacrifice Isaac, the ark, amen, the salvation of his people. It's all a picture of Jesus. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, then if I had done something terrible and then I was truly sorry, I'm forgiven because I have the blood applied to me. Just like in the Passover, another symbol of Christ, the Jews had the blood on the doorpost, right? And that was symbolic of, hey, don't kill them in this final plague. The same thing that when God looks at us, we have the blood applied to us, amen, and we are therefore saved by the blood of Christ. This is also called the substitutionary death, amen, or the atonement. And all it means is that Christ died on the cross for our sins at Calvary so that we could be saved. So once we accept him as Savior, we are appropriating his righteousness unto ourselves. And therefore, his righteousness, the Bible word would be imputed to us. His righteousness is now imputed to us. And our sinful nature has been paid for on the cross at Calvary. So that is the most important sacrifice. And no, it wasn't necessarily a burnt offering, but it was the final offering, the complete offering. And for us, New Testament Christians, those that believe in Jesus Christ, those that have been saved and born again, this is all that matters when it comes to salvation. It's simply a personal relationship with Jesus, accepting Him as Lord and Savior. And once we do that, we are truly born again, and we truly have victory over death, hell, and the grave. All right, stay tuned as we dive into Genesis 9 when we come back from this break.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
All right, so we're going to look at Genesis 9:1 here. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. The next couple of chapters, we're dealing with Noah and the repopulation of the earth and the generations of Noah, the genealogies, and so forth, okay? So that gives you kind of an overview of 9 and 10 and where we're headed. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. All right, there's a lot here. So God blessed Noah and his sons. Now you have to say, look, if God's blessing is upon someone, what can't they do? Like, what is impossible with God? Nothing, amen? I was reading in my evening Bible study last night about Jesus, I think it was in the book of Mark, speaking to the disciples about, hey, if you're looking at this mountain and you believe it can be moved, and you truly believe, then it can be moved. Nothing is impossible with God, amen? And so with God's blessing upon Noah and his family, nothing would be impossible, including repopulating the earth. And the application here for you today is that, you know what, if you're seeking the Lord's will for your life, and you are dealing in that holy business that we've talked about, you know, the salvation business, amen. That's God's business is the salvation business. People have got that confused. Some people think God's business is some kind of religious business, some kind of personal blessing, like, hey, you know what? I've got God on my side. I'm going to be blessed or I'm going to prosper. God's business is the salvation business. And when you're in God's business, which is the salvation business, the saving of his people, amen. When you're in God's business, just like Noah was in God's business and was literally saved by God, when you're in God's business, there's nothing that's impossible for you. You say, Lord, I want to see revival. Well, maybe he'll start revival through you as you pray over it day in and day out. Oh, Lord, I desire someone to be saved. Amen. And you pray over that person day in and day out. What's impossible for God? I knew a person, a relative that was very stubborn, and many people were praying for him. And one day he was saved. And it was like the last person on earth you'd think was saved. But all those people were praying fervently for him. I've seen addicts that have been addicted to drugs that statistically had a very low probability of ever coming out of that addiction. And yet they get in a Christian-based program, in a Bible-based fundamental program that is not putting them on more medicine, but giving them more and more scripture and more chapel and more biblical living, you know, what the Bible says to do. And having these young folks work all day and in chapel in the morning and chapel in the evening and go into revival and singing and preaching and spending time with God. And guess what happened? He was healed of that serious, awful addiction. And I've seen it happen over and over again. I've prayed with men at altars for their deliverance from whatever was keeping them in bondage, knowing that it's not me or not them, but Jesus Christ. With God's blessing, nothing is impossible. And in your life, whatever it is that you seem to be bound to, maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's a financial issue, maybe it's a relationship issue, maybe it's some other issue, God is able. Amen. What is impossible with God? He literally repopulated the earth with a group that came off one boat. He repopulated the entire earth. You look around today, spend some time in India or China, any of these massive, massive countries, and you'll see billions with a B of people. They all came, they're all descendants from Noah and the ark. Amen. All the animals that we see, go on a safari and you see all these exotic animals, you know, hey, out in our neck of the woods, you know, go out the door and you'll see a critter. Maybe you'll see a family dog wandering around, or maybe you'll see a wild turkey or a bunny rabbit. And, you know, that seems to be the mix right now is bunnies, turkeys, and family dogs. But whatever you see out your door, that all relates back to the ark, the kinds. And that means that No, maybe the German Shepherd wasn't on the ark, but the dog kind was. Amen. And no, you know, maybe my neighbor's neighbor can't trace exactly their relatives all the way far back, but they're all related. Amen. Because we all were repopulated from there. Where else did we come from? There was no other group of people. Amen. And so it's very important to see that God's blessing is all powerful, and that in the book of Genesis, that God's sovereignty is on display. Like maybe no other book in the Bible, and I don't know. I mean, obviously every book in the Bible showcases God's sovereignty, but we see in Genesis, God creating the world that we know, amen. God speaking to Adam and Eve and Cain and then on to Noah and so forth. God taking Enoch up after, was it 365 years, so he's no more. Amen. We're seeing a lot of God's sovereignty. What that means is the rules that we see, right? The rules that we are living by in what you call like natural rules or whatever, they don't apply to God. What's impossible for God? Amen. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for God. So never, ever forget that. We see God's blessing here. And what else do we see? We see God's command. So we see God's approval. And now we see God's command. He says, be fruitful and multiply. And now you say, well, who's going to be fruitful and multiply? Well, there are four couples, right, that are to make this happen. Amen. You have Noah and his wife. That's couple number one. And then you have Noah's three sons and their wives. That's couple number two, three, and four. And they are to replenish or to make full or complete again. That's what the word replenish means, to make full or complete again. And I have to believe that pre-flood, the earth was very populous and much more advanced than we might have imagined. And I don't know exactly how populous or how advanced, but I wouldn't be that surprised if the earth was like it was today. And you say, is that possible? How on earth were there? Did they have all of these things that we have here? I don't know. You know, only God knows. But what I do know is God changed everything in a moment with the flood. And now this group, this small group, is charged with being fruitful and multiplying, replenishing. We see that God's command is not for some silly reason. You know, be fruitful and multiply so that you can have something to do. Be fruitful and multiply so that you can see who's born. It's be fruitful and multiply to replenish the earth. So God had a command, and throughout scripture, God is commanding his people to be fruitful and multiply. And I'm going to give you three examples here briefly. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so we see here in Genesis 1, that God is commanding man to be fruitful and multiply, which is really fascinating if you think about it, because God knew what was to come. Amen. The ultimate destruction. But still, you know, for the godly line of Noah and so forth, the line of Seth, God said, be fruitful and multiply. So we have it in Genesis 1:28. We have it in Exodus 1:7 when the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt. We have it saying here in Exodus 1:7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mightily, and the land was filled with them. So we have them being fruitful there in Exodus 1:7. And then how about in the Babylonian captivity? You remember that? They were judged. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, takes them over in an awful, awful way. God, if you read the book of Jeremiah and so forth, you see God was furious with the Israelites for their disobedience, just for their dull hearing, for their stiff-neckedness. And he says, what does he say in Jeremiah 29:5-6? It really comes as a surprise as you're reading Jeremiah. He says, build ye houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And so throughout scripture, God is telling his people to be fruitful and multiply. And he is doing that for a reason, because the Israelites are his chosen people and he does not want them diminished. And here we have today a thriving Jewish community, a national state of Israel, the nation of Israel, and God in his will has seen forth to do that. And it's incredible that we see it commanded in the Old Testament, and we see it here today as we look at what's happening in present times. Tune in next time. Thank you for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow, same time, same place.